And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Luke Smith, good afternoon.
How are you, mate? You good?
I am larger than life and twice as difficult.
There we go. And we've both been blown away this afternoon by the wind out there. So
there's a bit of a breeze, isn't there?
Yeah, look, it's sneaky strong. So, and being the size I am, I'm go over like a big bit of wood too, so...
Ah, well, you know, you've got to survive this afternoon so you can pick up that motor vehicle you were talking about.
Oh, yeah,
first thing tomorrow.
Potentially.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah,
potentially.
So, you know, you're a bit of a rev head, huh?
Nah, not at all.
Of course. Well, it's a fast car, so yeah. I know you must be a rev head.
Nah, not at all. I'm mature and sensible.
You drive carefully, I know.
Mature and sensible.
Yes, yes. Well, it's an expensive car, so you've got to look after it. All cars are expensive.
Are they ever?
In fact, I've got to tell you, cars are the worst investment ever.
Yes, correct.
With the single exception of boats.
Yes, I think yes, and probably second only or third only to horses.
Yes, horses.
But given what's been in the news this week, we'll leave that one alone right away.
Well, maybe, but at the same time, there's some people who were big winners last weekend with the Everest. You know, if you're lucky enough to come first, there's big prize money. So
it was big cash flow. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. We're here to talk about more down to earth financial matters today, and today's topic is splitting your super, which is pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It means splitting your super. But you can't just do it with just anybody, can you?
Yeah, look, correct. I think this is one of the most underutilised strategies out there at the moment. Well, out there ever. And in the office, we call this the married wealth strategy, because the premise of this strategy is that you want to transfer your accumulated contributions to super to the older person in the relationship. So, for example, if my wife was 10 years younger than me, it would be advantageous for her to consistently direct a portion of her super contributions over to my account each year.
So long as she could trust you.
Correct. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And always happy to have a good family lawyer on the speed dial just in case. But in case you don't need one of those, it's really something that you can use to build wealth and try and align your retirement dates. And what I mean by that is this. As I said before, if there's that 10-year gap or 5-year gap between spouses, the younger spouse wants to think about rolling over or splitting her deductible contributions to the older spouse. And if we think about that in retirement, if there's 5 or 10 years difference between two couples, people generally want to finish around the same time so they can go off and have holidays and do things together and blossom and enjoy their final years, if you like, and this is a very good way to align those dates, because the younger person would be able to access their benefits in the older person's name and therefore wind back their working hours or stop altogether, depending on how they've accumulated assets inside of superannuation.
Okay, so in other words, the younger partner doesn't necessarily have to wait until he or she reaches retirement age. It's when the person with the money reaches retirement age.
Correct, and again, the whole premise of this strategy is to split deductible contributions. So if we take a step back, we know from previous shows that $25,000 is the most that any one person can put into super any 12 months and claim a tax deduction. And that includes personal contributions as well as employer contributions. So the superannuation guarantee payments, your 9.5 or your 15.4% you get from your boss, they all count towards that $25,000 limit. So if we think about the mechanics of this, if you put $25,000 into superannuation at the end of the financial year, you write to your fund and you say, hey, ABC Super Fund, I'd like to split 85% of the money that I've put in and claimed a tax deduction for to my spouse. Now, you can only claim 85% because obviously we need to allow, the fund needs to allow for the 15% contributions tax, which is the case with all deductible contributions.
Right.
But if we can split $21,250 every year, or a portion of that $25,000, depending on what you can afford to put in, you can see that the compounding value of this over a sustained strategy could actually bring forward the younger person's retirement age quite significantly, depending on the difference in age and their ability to access money when the older person hits their preservation or retirement age and can access their accumulated super to fund lifestyle.
So it's almost like cheating. How is this legal?
Well, it's like most things in life. The laws, they're there for a reason. As long as we don't break them, we can use them to our advantage and be strategic. And this is where, it's the important thing with this strategy is it's not cumulative. And there's nothing more frustrating for me when, someone's come in and they've married well and there might be 5, 10, 13, I had one the other day, 15 years, and they find out that they could have been doing this for the last 10 years.
All right.
The look of frustration is amazing. But the important thing is obviously you learn to take advantage of strategies that are relevant for your situation, for both you and your spouse. And this is one that I think is very, very underutilised. And when the mechanics of this and the benefits of this are explained, people jump all over this in a heartbeat.
Okay. Are there any kind of restrictions to this strategy, anything that would prevent you from doing it?
Yeah, so as we touched on just before, you need to make sure that you only split 85% of your deductible contributions, otherwise known as a concessional contribution. You cannot split non-concessional contributions, and a non-concessional contribution is where money's put into superannuation and no deduction is claimed. Now, that threshold is $100,000 a year or $300,000 in one go. You can't split that, so it's only personal deductible contributions and employer contributions. Unfortunately, for those out there that are in a defined benefit scheme like your CSS and your PSS, because of the nature of your fund, you miss out on this ability.
Mm-hmm.
Because your fund doesn't have the means to record the contributions in this manner. That doesn't mean that you can't take advantage of personal deductible contributions to another fund. So that's something that the defined benefit listeners should think about, because they don't want to miss out on this opportunity, and you need to obviously make sure that you don't ever go over your $25,000 cap, because that's a field you don't want to run into. So 85% of your contributions, you can only split deductible contributions. And the other caveat is you can't split money to someone that's already met their retirement age or preservation age. So if I was already 60 and my lovely wife, let's just say she was 40, and I could access my superannuation, she can't super split to me, because that's really jumping outside the purpose of the legislation itself.
So the gate has already swung closed on that one.
Yes,
when you reach that age.
Correct, okay. That's right. And that's why doing this early and looking at the cumulative benefit of that. Because if you think about, if you've got $25,000 in at $21,250 a year, that's 100 grand.
Oh, yeah.
Over five.
Yeah.
And most people work for a lot longer than 5 years. So starting early and using this every year, because it doesn't accumulate, is really, really important.
Yeah. All right. Now, I did sort of make a joke before, you know, this would be great for your younger wife, provided she could trust you. Yep. But what if it does all go wrong and you end up in getting a divorce and you've got, you know, her money in your super account? Presumably, that means if she has a good divorce lawyer, she can get that money back again?
Look, I think most of these things are within the realms of the legal system. And most good family lawyers would say that attaining a suitable outcome, looking at the purpose of what's happened, there's every likelihood that under the flagging rules or the family court provisions, you would be able to have that money just roll back into your fund. Obviously, it depends on the legal counsel that you receive. But again, I'm not a lawyer, but I would think that it would be fair and reasonable to say that you could go back and look at a strategy and then clearly identify the money that's come over from the spouse.
Yeah, and obviously there's a paper trail there that's not going to be, you know, not going to be difficult to find.
Yeah, so. And the other thing people need to remember is this is a really good strategy that you could use in conjunction with the carried forward concessional legislation. So if I can touch on that for a sec.
Yeah.
We talked about $25,000 a year being the maximum you can put into super. There was a piece of legislation passed last year that this is the first financial year that allows you to use whatever you didn't use of your $25,000 limit up to the end of the last financial year.
Okay.
So for example, if I've got $25,000 this year and I only put $15,000 into super last year, provided I've got less than $500,000 in super, I could potentially throw $35,000 and get a huge income tax deduction this financial year, help to bolster my superannuation so I get a tax benefit, build my wealth, and then split that to my partner.
Mm-hmm.
Now we start to stack these strategies on top of each other, and they're two pieces of strategic advice that go hand in hand and have huge value compounded year after year after year at any capacity up to that $25,000. So whatever you can do,
yeah,
is something's better than doing nothing.
That's right. So, you know, let me see if I've got this right. If you have not used up your $25,000 limit last year, you can use up your unused quota added to this year's quota to actually put aside more than $25,000.
Correct. Okay. Two caveats to that. It only rolls forward for 5 years max.
Right.
And you've got to have less than $500,000 in super at the start of the financial year. Provided you tick those two boxes, that is a wonderful piece of legislation that was brought to the public really to try and help people coming back into the workforce, to help contractors that have fluctuating incomes, parents, mums and dads that have been out looking after kids, gives them an opportunity to start to really build up their super again and catch up and make the most of how they receive their salary remuneration. So that's a wonderful piece of legislation, and we'll be touching on that in depth in a couple of weeks, so we can try and tie these two together.
So before we think about splitting our super, what are the things we should consider?
Well, I guess some of the big ticket items are obviously planning ahead. I often say that you should start with the end in mind and have a medium to long-term strategy that is quite flexible. And contributions and your rate of contributions needs to be exactly that. So people need to think about the age of their spouse and the value of it, the time frame that they're going to try and commit to try and benefit from that and align that with your broader retirement planning. I think this is where the use of offset accounts and redraw facilities really starts to get some leverage, because a well-structured home loan would give you access to capital that you could use to not only maximise your deductions up to $25,000, so you're therefore reducing your taxable income, but also then maximising the amount of retirement capital you could bring forward by passing it to the older spouse, which could then potentially allow you to align your retirement dates and go off sailing together. Also need to have a think about the value of people's superannuation benefits. Obviously, with the caps changing and the government limiting the amount of money that people can have in a tax-free pension, this could also be a very good strategy to try and equalise retirement funding, especially where you have somebody that may have a very large defined benefit scheme that could prevent them from having a tax-free income stream in retirement when they access their accumulated superannuation. I think the other thing is, time and consistency outweighs any sort of short-term flair. And I think this is something that when people know about it and it's relevant for them, they really appreciate and see the value in not only maximising their spouse's deductions, but also then being able to take advantage of that aligned retirement planning, because a lot of people want to do things at the same time. So I think that, in conjunction with the carried forward concessional cap going forward, that's another one that will really accelerate this and, again, leverage the use of offsets accounts and redraw facilities to get access to money that could give you additional tax deductible contributions and therefore additional funds at 85% that could pass to the older spouse. So there's some of the key things. Obviously, age, consistency, time, offset accounts and redraw facility to get capital, the carried forward concessional legislation, check and see what sort of space you have last year. If you're in a defined benefit scheme, log on to the website. They have your cap space on the website so that you can see very clearly what it would be. And then use money from accumulated resources to maximise your tax planning and therefore your retirement planning in conjunction with your broader strategy. So I think they're the big takeouts from today.
You say to do this every year. I'm assuming that this is done at a particular time of year?
Yeah, so this is done post 30 June. So you make your contributions up to 30 June, obviously get them in and cleared before 30 June. And then after 30 June, you then write to your fund and split what had gone in over that financial year. So you don't have to worry about jumping on the bandwagon now. In actual fact, you should be thinking about doing last year's this year.
Okay, so once the 30th of June arrives, then do you have a time limit or a time frame in which funds, you should do this?
Yeah, most funds are pretty flexible. They're generally fine if you have it done in the first 6 months of the new financial year. They're generally okay. It's obviously just making sure that you're not leaving it too late to miss out on that opportunity. But I don't think there's anything specific. It'd be on a fund-by-fund basis, depending on who you're with and what their regs are.
But you wouldn't want to leave it too long anyway, because...
No, look, I think that's part of your active advice and, you know, your planning strategies. Get those in, get your contributions sorted, manage your cash flow for next year, maximise your deductions leading into 30 June, and obviously pay off non-deductible debt and then draw out of an offset account to make those contributions. So you're getting two uses for the money, and now you're getting three uses for the money out of your offset, into the deductions, and then obviously split to your spouse. So it's a good use of the same cash.
It's a win-win-win. So where can we get more information?
Yeah, look, people can go to the website, www.envisionfinancial, that's envision with an E, .com.au. Obviously, we've got the Luke Talks Money, the strategy stacker on the podcast. We've got the YouTube channel, Envision Financial Canberra, so you can subscribe to that and get the weekly shows and the interview series that we'll be kicking off in the coming weeks with third-party providers. And obviously, if you've got any questions, come in and have a cup of coffee. Barb makes a mean drink, I've been told, in 02-6260-4749 if you've got any queries.
A mean drink. Not that mean.
Not that mean.
No, not that mean. All right, so that number again is 02-6260-4749, yes?
Yep, and the other thing people can do also is continue to shoot in the applications for our...
Oh, right, I forgot to ask, how's that going?
Our position, yeah, look, really, really good. So we're just after big smile, good work ethic, ownership of a job and a bit of common sense. If you've got those four things and can use a computer, I'd love to hear from you because we've got an opportunity for you to join the team, so that'd be awesome.
Sounds fantastic. Luke, have a terrific afternoon. We'll chat to you again next Friday.
See you next week, mate.